hey, what's up? Like, totally time for 90210.
Well, hello, everybody. Welcome back to the 90210 show. My name is Mark. With me, as always, is my wife, Carol. How you doing today, Carol?
Hey, what's up?
How much has been a good week here? It's March 18th, 1999. You look pensive, deep in thoughts. What is going on?
Oh, nothing, just planning parties.
Oh, yes. We have two parties coming up, everyone.
It's stressing me out.
We have a mother party and we have a nephew party.
Yep. Two parties.
Woo, woo.
Calculating the amount of beverages to buy for 40 people.
Yeah, so we did total weight of the guests divided by mean number of guests, volume of soda pop, as we call it regionally here in Michigan. Although Carol and I both notably call it soda usually. I also don't say Myers or Ford's. It's Meyer. That's, and Ford.
That is true.
A lot of people in Michigan do a, that's a regional thing where they put an apostrophe S on everything. You're going to go up to Myers?
Well, I do that.
But it's Meyer. You going to go up to Meyer?
But it's Myers.
It's not Myers. It's Meyer.
But it's Myers.
Why?
I don't know.
Is it Myers?
Because Myers owns it. It's Myers' is. Because Meyer owns it, so it's Myers's.
What's Meyer's first name?
Clifton.
Just stood, like, opened a book of old-fashioned names.
Clifton J. Meyer.
Fred. His name was Fred Meyer.
See, it is a dude. So it works.
It doesn't work, though. That's not what it's called. Or Kmart's.
No, it's just, I've heard it's people just say Kmart.
I'm going to go up to Kmart's.
It's just Kmart.
No, people say that, though.
Well, they're wrong.
And just because the Ford family owns Ford doesn't mean it's Ford's. But I think that's where it comes from.
Yeah.
I think all the family-owned businesses in the area is where it comes. Isn't this interesting, guys? Isn't this the 90210 content that you tuned in to listen to?
Well, maybe next time don't ask why I'm pensive and let's just talk about, you know, like slutty people and... rich people.
We already talked about the party. Oh, got him. Got him all. Your family. I got him. Anyway, my family's dead. Let's talk about 90210.
Okay. So 90210, Brandon.
Is this Dallas for teenagers? You're Dynasty. I think that's the better one-to-one comparison.
Okay.
You got me thinking about that, when you were talking about slutty people and rich people and stuff like that, and I was like, is this Dynasty for teenagers? I think it is.
Sure. I'm not familiar with Dynasty.
Brandon is John Forsythe, and what's her name? Jenny Garth is
Kelly.
Susan Collins.
So I don't know any of these people. I don't know this reference.
Tori Spelling is, what the fuck's her name? Heather Locklear.
Heather Locklear's on Melrose Place.
Actually, that's true. Heather Locklear, no, that would probably be Brenda, I guess, right? Or the other way around.
I don't know. I can't play this game with you.
Oh, because you're not familiar with Dynasty.
No.
All right. Well, anyway, let's talk about storylines related to the actual 90210 episode.
So the name of this episode is Brandon Leaves.
Brandon Leaves.
So what the fuck, people?
Brody Bolts.
How is that fucking possible? This is 90210. Like, the show started out about Brandon and Brenda moving to 90210. It was like from their perspective as newbies.
We're moving on up to 90210.
And they got rid of Brenda.
You keep looking over at the poster like you expect them to be like, that's right, Carol. It was about us.
Well, I'm looking because we have a poster of the first season.
Yes.
Group photo.
Yep.
We've got Andrea.
Yeah, she's gone.
Dylan.
Gone.
Brenda.
Gone.
David looks like a little boy.
Yeah, his puberty gone.
And Steve's hair was much curlier.
Yeah.
Kelly was prettier. I don't know what happened.
I don't know. Age. It comes for us all.
And now Brandon is going to be fucking gone too.
Brandon leaves.
So like that whole section of the poster, there's only half the people that'll be left.
Yeah.
The blondes and David. That's it. I mean, they've replaced them with Valerie
Yes.
And Noah.
Oh, God.
And now this weird lawyer dude.
Yeah, he's going to replace... I like that they gave scenes to Jason Priestley with the actor that's going to replace him. It's like, do scenes with this fucker.
Yeah, weird. Did you do a squeaky laugh?
Maybe. Why? What the fuck? Be present in this show that we're doing, okay?
But I thought I heard the dog. But if I did hear the dog, then something's really wrong with the dog because it was, like, squeaky. But I'm sure it's fine. Sorry.
Yeah, deep breaths. That's what I'm doing. Deep breaths right now. Present in the show. Yeah, they're all going to be gone. So I agree with you, though. Can't just cancel the show.
Yeah.
Like, the entire premise of the show was, we're from Minnesota, and we're moving to Beverly Hills, and it's going to be a big shakeup. And the parents are gone?
Mm-hmm.
Like, the parents are gone, Brenda's gone, everyone that was from Minnesota is gone.
Yeah. And, like, I'm just realizing, too, there's 8 people, right? I just named 3 to replace 3. A fourth is the slutty girl that we hate.
Oh, yeah.
So that means she really is, like, part of the show. Is she in the intro yet?
No.
I bet she will be.
No, but the Lindsay Price, I think her name is, the vaguely Asian woman at the
Beverly Beach.
She's in the...
Why? Like, I barely does anything.
Yeah, well, her and Nat both get, like, one scene each.
That's weird. Okay, so that makes me feel better, though. Maybe Janet is the 8th person, even though she really isn't.
I don't know.
I want the other one to go. Okay.
I want so many of them to leave.
Yeah, I want the show to just be done, honestly.
Apparently, obviously, you know, it's very well known at this point that Shannon Doherty was, like, forced out of the show or whatever. Behind the scenes drama and all that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Which is why she's not allowed back on the show. Dylan left of his own accord. He left because he wanted to.
Apparently,
Jason Priestley also left because he wanted to. He has said that he felt this character is run its course.
Yeah, the whole fucking show's run its course, man. Okay, let's talk about the bullshit. So...
That's what you guys are here for, the bullshit. Don't you love our dedication to our contempt for this show?
It started out good. What is the fucking girl's name, though?
You wanted this.
I know. It's
you
my fault.
You asked for this.
I know.
So long ago, Carol. We've been doing this for 5 fucking years.
Yup.
Sophie is her name.
Sophie. Sophie is a fucking freak.
She
disappeared. And so David's like looking for her and has the gall to ask Steve if he's seen her, which was really stupid. That's
he's
just like,
yeah, I've seen a vagina on the internet.
Yeah. So there are posters. Who made the posters?
She did.
Sophie did this for herself.
Yes. It's like some weird kind of guerrilla marketing technique that she's using. But it says, it's a poster that says, where's Sophie with a question mark? And then it has her phone number.
Yeah. So she disappeared to give it authenticity, I guess. And
I don't know.
There are flyers circulating around. So David calls the number and finds her. Is that how he finds her?
No.
He just runs into her.
He just runs into her, I think. I don't remember exactly. The next scene, he's with her or whatever.
Yeah.
I don't know. But maybe he does call her because he's like, I found this poster or whatever. Maybe he does call and meets up with her that way. But apparently somehow this stunt has gotten her a audition for a commercial.
Yeah, I don't understand. Some marketing director, casting director, whatever, saw this, called the number and invited her to audition. This is supposed to be a missing person poster. So unless you've seen this girl, why would you call the number?
I don't know. I don't know how this is supposed to work at all. You know what it should have said? It should have said, who's Sophie?
Yeah.
And then the phone number.
That would have worked.
Because that might have spurred some people like, what the fuck? Who is Sophie?
Mm-hmm.
Who is this woman?
So.
I love her look. I love the vaguely ginger, pale look.
She's not pretty. Like this,
she's not at all pretty.
This episode like highlighted that for me. Like at first I thought maybe she was kind of pretty, but she's really not. She's got like harsh features. She looks She looks like she's been working, you know? she looks like she's had a rough
She really does.
Go of it. Yeah. Yeah.
Like my dad would say, rode hard and put away wet.
Mm-hmm. But she goes to this fucking audition. David's with her the whole time being all supportive and sweet, and she does not deserve him.
No, like, to break up this friendship, a friendship that began this show. He even mentions, like, I used to be obsessed with you or whatever, Steve. They vague mention of it from that first season. But, like, she should have been super hot.
Yeah, yeah. But she's not.
No.
But he takes her to this audition. She does her stupid money flipping trick to bribe the lady to put her at the top of the stack. First of all, she hands her the wanted poster.
Yeah, she's,
as her headshot.
Yeah, she's like, here, headshot. And the girl looks at you, she's like, professional headshot. What the fuck is this shit? And she's like, hey, the casting director asked for me personally. So, which I don't even know if that's true.
Yeah.
And she's like, I bet she'd appreciate it if I was at the top of the list. And she holds out that 50 and then switches it for the 10. She still bribed her 10 bucks, but.
And the girl takes it and puts her at the top of the list. Mm-hmm. She doesn't get the job.
No.
Like, the next scene we see, she looks awful.
Wholesome enough is the note.
Yeah, which she's not. But she looks all pissed off and sour pussy. And apparently, I thought David was paying for this. I was glad to hear she paid for it herself. She's getting herself professional headshots. If you're going to do that, don't frown and pout while you're having your headshot taken.
No,
what is wrong with you? Like, the guy's like, these are supposed to be headshots, not mugshots.
Yeah, exactly. Well, David points out, I think David influenced her to get headshots, and I don't think she really wants them.
Mm-hmm.
But David points out, he's like, yeah, you see all, she goes, all these girls, they don't have a chance in fucking hell because I'm here now. And it's like, he goes, yeah, they have agents and headshots, and they go around and do auditions, and they put their work in or whatever.
Do the little things.
And she's like, yeah, anybody can do little things. But that's the hard work of trying to make it as an actor that people don't realize.
Yeah. So, yeah, she thinks she's just so special and spectacular, she shouldn't have to do anything. It should just happen for her.
Mm-hmm.
So they're there with this photographer who then invites them to a Hollywood party.
Well, because now we get a turnaround in the pictures.
Mm-hmm.
Because David comes up to her and he's like, hey, listen, if you do good with these headshots, I'll...
Yeah, he's whispering, like, in her ear.
He's whispering all the dirty things he's going to do to her, I guess. Ugh. And she starts smiling and everything. And she's like, that's bribery. And he's like, it's an incentive. And then for some reason, there's a boombox in the corner. And he just presses play. And it's just on a song that she can strut around and perform to. It's so weird. It's all queued up for her. And she starts doing that. And she's being all flirty. And she's like working with her little coat or whatever the fuck she's wearing. And the guy's like, oh, this is good. This is sexy. Good stuff, you know, and everything. And he's like, there's a party you two should come to. So, yeah, then they go to this party, this Hollywood party, which is in just some random backyard with like, picnic tables set out with dirty tablecloths. It looks like your middle-class friend's graduation party.
Sure. Yeah, I mean, there's nothing wrong with it, but it's not a Hollywood party.
It does not seem like a Hollywood get-together, no.
And so he's introducing her to a director. He's pointing out people who've been in Scorsese films.
Yeah, she's been in a Scorsese film. That guy's in Gus Van Sant's new film.
And then some guy starts talking to David.
Let me introduce you to a director that's not either of those two big names I mentioned.
Right. But this guy starts talking to David and asks, hey, you must be the new guy.
You were the stud in fucking, like...
Would you do it 10 times in that
show? Slippery When Wet Part 2 or something like that.
And David's like, what kind of movies do they make here?
Mm-hmm.
So he goes and tries to get Sophie away because he thinks she's going to be taken advantage of because she's obviously this unsuspecting, innocent girl.
Which
I don't know where he gets that impression.
Yeah, I don't either.
And she's like, well, everybody's got to start somewhere.
She wants to do pornography.
Yeah. So let her go.
Yeah.
Like, let her go do porn. He, like, drags her off and, like, oh, you can do better than this. Don't feed into her fucking ego, because no, she can't.
Yeah, no shit.
And, like, whatever, if she wants to do it because she has no money, let her.
Oh, yeah, the freak out that she had at the getting the headshots is, well, after, this is after the headshots, but she's like, the director calls her and she's like, yeah, he really wants to see me. And David's like, yeah, I'm sure he does. And she goes, I'm thinking about it. She goes, I need money now because the check I wrote for those headshots is going to bounce. Fucking my dorm money is all spent. I'm going to fail all my classes because I haven't been going to any classes. And once they find that out, the government's going to come after their money and I'm fucked.
Mm-hmm. She is fucked.
And he's like, you know, success in life doesn't mean like being a star or whatever. And she's like, I'm not like most people. I'm not running home with my tail tucked between my legs. You know, you don't have to go home, right? You could just get a job out in Los Angeles and just live there, right?
There are other jobs there. But instead of doing any of those normal
things, she should have been with Steve.
Yeah.
It makes so much more sense to glom on to the rich guy.
I don't know if she realizes how rich he is.
Like, David's family's pretty well off, too.
Yeah. Just David's smarter.
You know what's weird, too, is, yeah, I don't think she knows how rich he is. I also don't think she knows that his mom is in fucking show business.
Right? Yeah, like, he would have been perfect for her, what she wants for her endgame. He would have been perfect.
Oh, my God.
Because she just wants money and fame, and he would be an inside source to both.
She fucking fumbled the ball so hard on this.
Well, that's because she thinks David's hot. And she listened to her pussy instead of, you know, paying attention
you
to...
You never would have done that if you went out to Hollywood. You wouldn't listen to your pussy.
I wouldn't try to, like, support myself by glomming onto guys, anyway.
Oh, come on, Carol, come on.
But instead
you're not like that.
Following David's good advice, she rents a fucking billboard with one of her headshots that says, "Where's Sophie?" with her phone number on it.
Yeah.
What does she think that's going to do?
She's like,
if
this got me a commercial, what the fuck is this going to get you? It'll get you an Academy Award. You're going to win an Oscar. What do you think it's going to get you, you fucking idiot?
Broke faster. That's what it's going to get you, stupid idiot.
He's like, I thought you didn't have any money. He's like, yeah, the guy that I wrote that check for this billboard doesn't know that.
Oh, my Lord. You know, it's illegal to write bad checks. Like, it's one thing if, like, you bounce one check by accident for, like, a couple bucks and then you fix it. It is a whole other thing to just run around writing checks you know are going to bounce.
Yeah, that's called, I believe it's pronounced, fraud.
Yeah, so, I mean, like, she could end up in jail.
Yeah. Although no one in this show ever ends up in jail when they should.
That's true. But she doesn't have any rich friends or family to get her out.
But that's her storyline. Yeah. That's what we know of her so far.
I'm really disgusted with her. Like, I feel like it would have been a better choice for her, honestly, to go do the porn. She already had sex on the internet knowingly, by the way. You know she knew.
Yeah, fuck yeah, she did.
So, I mean, that's the kind of audition she wanted.
Exactly. Is she going to just send him that? They didn't make a tape, I guess, but...
Yeah, webcams are not recorded. Yeah. That's part of how they get away with that stuff.
Yeah, I guess that's true. Not that we've ever seen people have sex on webcams.
Never, ever. And then we have Brandon.
Brandon's the big one. Brandon leaves. Can I say something before we get into the minutiae of this storyline?
Okay.
Anticlimactic. Mm-hmm. Completely. Like, he doesn't get a big going away party like Andrea did, really.
Yes, he does.
No, he doesn't get a big going away party. He gets a group of people in a room delivering one line each of why he should get the fuck out.
That's basically what Andrea got.
No.
It was at the Peach Pit.
It was at the Peach Pit, but they actually had like a real party.
They had a party. I don't think there's a problem with the party.
I'm just saying, like, it's so much other stuff's going on in the show. I mean, I guess it's kind of good that he's leaving, I suppose, because there's not really room for him anymore, I suppose. But, like, so much other stuff is going on, and it's just like, I don't know, the whole thing's anticlimactic. It just comes out of nowhere. It's just like, oh, I was missing an episode, now I'm gone.
Yeah. Yeah.
He got a job offer for the New York Chronicle, which I still think is the one from Citizen Kane. For their Washington bureau. Well, I don't understand why all these places have... Do big papers really have, like, does the New York Times have a Washington bureau? I guess they probably do.
I don't know.
I guess they probably do because they need to cover stories politics, that are happening in Washington. But why would they have an LA one? For maybe for movie stars and stuff, I guess. I don't know. Anyway.
Who knows? But yeah, so he tells Kelly.
Yeah.
And she's like, oh, good, you should go.
Yep, get the fuck out.
And she's fine. Like, she's just opening her store, and, you know, she's happy. And he can't... You know
what their store is called? It's called... What's it called? You buy it now or something like that?
Wear this?
Wear it now?
Wear this now.
Wear this now. Yeah, I think that's what it is. Wear this now.
Yeah. It's a stupid name for a store.
It's a really stupid name for a store.
And they've got a hanger, like one of those, like, what, neon light hangers hanging up in their window. It's, yeah.
We'll get to their store. I mean, that's, we basically just covered their store.
Yeah, that's about it. But no, so, like, he can't stand the fact that Kelly's not broken up, that he's leaving.
Exactly.
And so he decides he's not going to leave. Yep. I mean, I really feel like that was the main thing.
I agree. And because he saw the other guy sniffing around, too.
Mm-hmm.
The lawyer guy. He's like, hey, this guy vaguely looks like... It's almost like casting directors chose someone that looked kind of vaguely like me. But more muscular.
It's ridiculous. Like, you could have married her. You didn't. Leave.
Yeah, their relationship is... I just don't understand it.
And so then he shows up at her doorstep in the middle of the night, practically, like, it's late out, dark out anyway. He's like, come on, and just takes her, doesn't tell her where they're going, takes her out to the beach, and he's like, I've never done night swimming. I've lived here 9 years, and I've never done it.
I'm afraid of night swimming.
And just starts stripping off his clothes. And it's cold out. You can see she's, like, hugging this little sweater thing around her, like, and I think they're skinny dipping. Like,
yeah, his testicles and penis have shrunken right up.
But yeah, so he gets her to go in the water with him.
And did women know about that before that episode of Seinfeld, by the way?
I did.
Elaine didn't.
Yeah.
On that episode. It shrinks. Like a frightened turtle!
I had to think about it for a minute. When did I find that out? But yes, I did.
When did you find that out? That's an interesting question.
I don't want to talk about it.
Not ever or not now?
And we can talk about it when we're not recording.
Okay.
Okay. Anyway... Now I lost my train of thought.
He wants to go night swimming.
No, they do. They go night swimming, and then they have this little heart-to-heart on the beach, and it's all... About
how, like, a shark almost attacked him or whatever and stuff, too. What are you afraid of? Oh, you can't see anything out there, and blah, 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 blah. Mm-hmm. I'm afraid of the tide. You can just get pulled out. And then,
it's the unknown.
And then the surf will erase your footprints, and no one will ever know you were there. And he's not talking about night swimming, everyone.
Mm-hmm.
He's talking about his indelible impression on us on the 90210, but he really means, I mean, the character's talking about being in LA or whatever.
Yeah. So they have this nice little talk on the beach there, and he talks about his fears, and she's like, yeah, you're okay. You still need to...
People are going to know that you were here, Brandon. Yeah,
you still need to go move on with your life.
You'll probably still executive produce the show.
So.
And he's like, no, I'm not leaving, though. I'm not going.
Mm-hmm. He's just firmly digging in.
He says to Steve, I'm going to stay. Beverly Beat is going to be stronger than ever.
Yeah. Yeah, because, like, the girls open their store, and Steve and him are watching, and he's like, because they're celebrating their opening of the store. And Steve's like, they got theirs. And Brandon's like, and we got ours. And Steve's like, well, we did. And he's like, no, we still do. I'm not going anywhere.
Mm-hmm.
Like, what the fuck? So he threw me off. Like, I thought maybe they were just messing with us when they said Brandon leaves.
Right.
But then they throw him a going away party, even though he told everybody he's not leaving anymore.
Yeah.
Which is kind of messed up.
Yeah. Like, I mean, seriously, like, if I told people, like, oh, I'm not going to leave, and then everyone got together to be like, get the fuck out of here, I'd be like, oh my God, okay, nobody likes me.
Right. Like, what? Like, I mean, I realize that it's like they're doing what's best for him or whatever, but I mean, apparently it's some really good job. And, like, you know, sure. You said his family's all gone, so.
Yeah, there's nothing for him here except for his friends, I guess.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I like I said, the whole thing felt very anticlimactic. There was no, like, remember this, remember that. Like, I didn't need a clip show, but it's like, I don't know, the whole thing just felt very anticlimactic.
Yeah.
It was not as bad as Brenda, who, like, left between seasons.
Right.
Off screen.
Well, and then they're doing, like, this little voiceover. It was David, like, being in the DJ booth talking about it. And it's, like, supposed to be emotional or something. Like,
we're going to miss you, Brandon.
We had all these times in high school and
9 years is a long time for people to hang out and watch us.
And so, like, it felt like they were giving us this time to, like, be emotional and cry about it or something. Mm-hmm. But it's, like, I feel nothing. I feel nothing for any of these people.
Yeah.
So, I just didn't care. I was upset when Brenda left.
Yeah, that was so long ago.
I was upset when Dylan left.
Yeah.
I was even a little upset when Andrea left.
A little, yeah.
But no, Brandon, the star of the show, has left, and that's how shitty the show is now. It's like, I just don't care.
Yeah, I don't. Who's going to be? Okay, so here's the real question: are they going to take him out of the
I suspect they're going to keep him in.
Yeah, how are we going to go about our lives without that awkward chest bump between him and Steve in the opening?
Well, my thinking, though, is that, like you said, he'll probably still executive produce the show.
Yeah.
So he's still involved, so they're not going to feel the need to, like, totally take him out. And it leaves it so they can bring him back anytime they decide they want to.
Instead of having his picture, it'll just show a dollar sign and it'll say Jason Bruce, executive producer.
There you go. So, yeah, and then as far as the other storylines, like we said, Kelly and Donna open their store.
Can we do Valerie's real quick?
Sure.
Because Valerie's is very quick.
Sure.
Valerie's like, maybe my mom's going to turn me in. Mom, don't turn me
Holy
in.
Holy shit, is she the anointed one or like the master or whatever? What's happening?
And then her mom's like, maybe I'll turn you in. And then her mom comes at the end of the episode and she's like, I'm not going to turn you in.
Yep, that's how she said it.
Yep.
She also, though, like, is talking to, she's already told David about killing her father.
Yes.
And now she's also told her mother.
Did she tell David? Oh, yeah, she did tell David, yeah.
And then she starts hinting at it to Noah. And I'm like, you don't need to tell everybody. What are you doing?
Because Noah's like, suicide, the most destructive thing a person can do. And she's like, except for murder. And he's like, oh, I wouldn't know anything about that. And she was like,
I would.
Yeah, and she goes, oh, you've thought about it before or whatever? She goes, what makes you so sure I haven't done it? And then he looks at her and he's like, you almost got me. You're crazy, Valerie. You're crazy, killing someone.
But yeah, it's like he thinks that both their dads killed themselves, so he's probably thinking they should be able to bond about that. Oh my God,
I didn't even think about that, but you're right.
And instead of being like, yeah, it's so awful, she's like, well, what about murder?
Because he doesn't even know that her dad raped her.
No, he doesn't know any
All he knows is that her dad killed herself. Holy fuck, that makes so much more sense as to why he would want to bond with her over this.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Yeah, but she's not having it.
Brilliant, Carol, you're brilliant.
What I really didn't like about it, though, is when she was talking to her mom, and she finally explained what happened.
Yeah.
And she's like, you know, because her mom's like, I'm not going to turn you in, because I don't want everyone to know what was going on between the two of you.
Fuck her.
She's some kind of willing participant.
Fuck her.
And she's like, he was raping me. She's like, over and over. And she's like, and when I finally fought back, he got a gun.
Yeah, he fought back, and he got a gun. And we wrestled with it, and then he got shot. So it wasn't even, like, cold-blooded. It was literal self-defense.
Yeah. Literally, like, what she's been saying.
And then she staged it as a suicide. And she's like, yeah, she goes, what the fuck do you want from me, Valerie? And she's like, I want closure. I want to not feel dirty and awful and stuff all the time. I want closure from you, and you're not giving it to me. And she's like, I'm leaving.
Yeah. Yeah, her mom's a bitch. But yeah. No surprise. So
I really feel bad for Valerie, honestly.
Me too.
Like, they have given her character more depth than any of the other characters, I think.
Yeah, yeah. And, like, all the bitchy things she's done, it's, like, pretty forgivable, really.
Yeah, and it makes sense, considering that, like, she feels victimized, but she also feels like a bad person for killing him. And she's had to carry all of that trauma with her. And now she gets the revelation that her mom knew and didn't stop it. And, like, yeah, I mean, it's just, like, it's you can understand why she acts the way she does in some ways.
Yeah.
It's all fucked up shit.
It is. Okay. Who else do we have? It's just Donna and Kelly, right? We pretty much already talked about them.
Donna and Kelly and then Noah. I mean, Noah's not, well, Donna and Noah is really, like, the big thing.
Donna and Noah. What the fuck? Oh, he's ignoring her? Like, that's basically, it's like a non-story, really.
Yeah, but I think Donna's being, what's the word I'm looking
selfish?
For?
Selfish?
Yes, selfish, but also fucking.
He's making arms at me and stuff, and, like, I don't know.
I'm making arms at you.
I don't know what you're trying to say, sir.
Unfair, maybe?
Okay.
Yeah, I guess that's probably, that wasn't exactly the word I was looking for, but I think unfair is probably the closest to the word I was trying to think of. But yeah, I think she's being unfair about this whole thing. She's like, at one point he says something like, yeah, you want me to get over my father's death or whatever? And she's like, yeah, you know, whatever. It's like, when did he kill himself? A week ago?
Yeah.
Like, what the fuck? They just had this funeral. It's so weird. Like, she makes everything about her. I mean, at least in this instance, she's making it all about her. He's not opening up to me. He's not, you're not even, like, making me try to understand where you're coming from. Maybe that's not how he grieves.
Right.
He's grieving. Like, his job is not to tailor his grief to you.
Yeah.
Your job is to help him grieve in whatever way he's grieving.
Yeah.
And she's not doing that. She's like, well, you're not opening up to me. Maybe he can't open up right now.
Yeah, he's a very damaged person.
Yeah, maybe that's not how he grieves. Maybe that's not what he needs to get better right now.
So instead, he sits alone in his office and drinks.
Yeah, I don't think he's handling it the right way either. But, no. Like, I don't think she's...
She's feeling awfully sorry for herself.
I don't think her pressure is helping any either.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's a very fucked up situation. But, yeah, he's withholding. And at one point, she's like... Kelly says to her, if he keeps pushing you away, eventually you're going to have to let him go. And then the lawyer offers, because he was supposed to show up to their big opening and he doesn't. And the lawyer's like, I can walk you to your car and stuff. And she's like, no, it's okay, whatever. And like they have a little talk and then he goes, he's talking about how he's representing that guy that beats his wife. And he's like, I'm doing it not because I think that he deserves to beat his wife or whatever. I'm doing it because I think the child deserves to not lose her father in her life. And I guess I kind of get that, but like some people would be better off without their father.
Right. In
their
life. There's no guarantee he wouldn't beat her too.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I realize that not all guys who hit their wives also hit their children. Sure. Sometimes it's a very specific kind of an abuser, but sure. There's a likelihood that he would.
And I'm not saying the guy doesn't deserve a defense because
Everyone deserves a defense.
Even the most vicious killers and stuff like that deserve a defense because if they're guilty, then, you know, the faith is that the justice system works out, they get punished. You know?
Right.
And hopefully, because this guy is an abuser, that information comes out in court and that affects whether or not he gets custody and everything.
Yeah.
But anyway, so he's like, they have a little conversation. She's like, I'm so refreshed by your honesty.
I'm so glad you told me that.
By your openness, because he's doing stuff that Noah's not doing. Mm-hmm. And then he's like, well, the offer to walk you to your car stands. What is he going to fuck her in her car? What is the offer to walk her to her car? Like, because he's like, it stands any day or whatever. And it's like, yeah, that's not a thing like you have to, that's not a thing you have to schedule. She's like, I'm going to help you, I can walk you to your car or whatever kind of thing. Like, is that like a date? The fuck?
Yeah, I don't know. That was kind of weird. And I thought he was interested in Kelly, not Donna.
I thought he was interested in Kelly, too, but Kelly got uninterested in him when he was defending the abuser. So I think maybe those two are going to have something. Because at the end of the episode, Noah's not there, and she tries to call him, and he doesn't answer. And she's basically just like, fuck him.
Yeah.
And then the guy comes, and they walk to her car. So
yeah. Okay.
So I don't know what the fuck's going on with that.
So Noah is going to lose his girlfriend because he's not grieving the way she wants him to.
Correct.
That's bullshit.
I agree. And, I mean, he keeps getting hit with things. Like, it's not just like, oh, he killed himself, get over it or whatever. It's like his mom calls and is like, hey, lie to everyone about what happened. Because she doesn't want to lose face in front of her rich friends. And it's like... He had an obituary already and everything. Like, I think it's pretty well known how he killed himself.
Right. And, oh, that's the other thing. He takes Valerie with him to look at his old house because they're selling it.
Yeah.
And he's talking about all the bad memories. And it's like, that's the kind of thing, though, Donna wants him to do with her.
Yeah, that's true.
And he's doing it with Valerie instead. But I think, like we said earlier, he's trying to bond with her. He thinks she can understand better, maybe.
Well, and he says to some point to Donna, he's like, it feels like being in quicksand or like something like that. He's like, do you know what that feels like? And she goes, no, but I imagine it's awful. And I think that's a big part of the problem. Donna has just led a charmed life for the most part.
Yeah.
I mean, she was stalked and she was almost raped by that one guy.
And she was in an abusive relationship.
Not that she hasn't been through things or whatever, but like, I think in his, because I don't think he knows a lot of that either.
Yeah.
I think in his mind, she's led a pretty charmed life. And I think he just doesn't think she can understand what he's going through. Yeah. And that's what, part of the reason why he doesn't want to open up to her.
That makes sense.
But I don't know if we're supposed to be on her side or not.
I'm not. I'm not on either of their sides, honestly.
I think they're both handling it poorly.
Yeah.
I think getting drunk all the time and driving drunk and all that shit is not a great way to handle things. But and then I think that's pretty much it.
Yeah.
I mean, most of the episode revolves around Brandon leaving and then them opening up their shop and stuff.
Yeah.
Brandon's, like, doing a story about custody battles and stuff like that in the background, very briefly, just so he can have a scene with his replacement.
And again, you know, doing a story that Kelly leads him to, because that's the only stories he does for some reason. What is he going to do in Washington without her?
No shit. Kelly, can you come over here and have sex with President Clinton so I can write a story about it?
Right.
But that is the episode for the week, everyone. Carol, tell people where they can have sex with President Clinton.
Oh, my goodness. You can write us at latefee1994@AOL.com, although we cannot hook you up with President Clinton.
No.
You can check out our website at www.retrolatefee.com.
Mm-hmm.
You can check out our Patreon at patreon.com/retrolatefee.
That's right. And maybe President Clinton's on there.
Maybe. And share the tapes with your friends, please.
All right, we'll see you next time. Bye.
Bye.